Lancaster Baptist Church podcast is designed to inspire you to love God, grow you in the knowledge of God's Word, and challenge you to serve others in the name of Jesus Christ.
Let's take our Bibles today and let's turn to the book of Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 20 and 21 for our scripture reading this morning from Galatians chapter 2. And let's all stand together as we stand in reverence to the Word of God, and let's make room for those that are still coming in as we turn to Galatians chapter 2. Today's message is entitled, A Rooted Position, and we're going to learn about our identity in Christ, how to be rooted in Christ. That's our theme this year, but in particular today, rooted in our position or in our identity. Now, today's message is just a little different. This is going to be a Bible principle I want to teach you, and I really believe it's one of the most helpful Bible principles in all the Word of God. And I want you to open your heart. I shared this with our church from a little different vantage point a few years ago on a Wednesday night, but I really believe this Sunday morning, as we continue this series on Rooted for Growth, that this principle can help us. So I want you to follow along and let this bless your heart as it has blessed mine. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the wonderful music today that has reminded us of your grace and your work at the cross. Thank you for the privilege of gathering together this morning around the Word. I pray that you would fill us with your Spirit. Hide me behind your cross, Lord, and use this time this morning to be a time when we learn more of our identity in you. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, all of us like to identify with certain roots or values or family heritage. Many times you'll get around someone and they'll begin to talk about where they're from or their favorite team, or they'll talk about what their grandparents did. Sometimes we identify ourselves as Americans, or we'll say we're for Team USA, or maybe we'll say we're a Baptist, and we define ourselves in these different ways. But the longer you live, the more you begin to discover that the best of logos, the best of teams, the best of countries, the best of brands will fail or will become tarnished, but Jesus never fails. And oftentimes, as we try to identify ourselves, it's okay to use certain identification markers, but in reality, for the Christian, it really has a baseline and it has a beginning point for us as Christians when we define ourselves as the children of God and identify ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Christian life is intended to be a life of unity and union with Jesus. That's what it's all about. It's all about a relationship with Jesus. And sometimes people can get hung up on where they used to go to church or who they, you know, knew once or where they went to college or what class they went to. And then we get involved in the trappings of all of that. But when you come right to the core of it, what matters is this simple question today. Are you finding your identity in Christ? Is Christ living his life through you? That's what really matters this morning. And the Bible speaks of this in 2 Peter 1 and verse 4, where we read these words, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So when a person accepts Christ as Savior, they are born again. They are a partaker of the divine nature. That is, the nature of Jesus Christ indwells them. We are born again from the inside out. Now, if you know the backdrop of Galatia, the church at Galatia, you know that they were having trouble coming to grips with what that really meant. In other words, they were coming out of Judaism. They had for all of their lives thought that the way to a relationship with God was through the ceremonial laws, it was through the rituals, it was through keeping the Sabbath, it was through keeping the holy days. Well, now they had accepted Jesus as their Savior. They were trusting in Christ as their Savior, but there were some people trying to drag them back into Judaism, drag them back into an identity with this old system of the law. And frankly, it would have been easy for them to go back to that because they were comfortable with that. But the Apostle Paul is refuting that practice. He is challenging those with Judaistic sympathies. He is telling them that they needed to come out and identify with Christ and recognize who they are in Jesus Christ. And in these verses ahead of verse 20, he says, if while we seek to be justified, verse 17, by Christ, we also ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. And in verse 21, he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. In other words, he's saying, it's either the law that justifies or it's Jesus that justifies, but you can't mix the two together. And he's calling them to understand who they really were in Jesus Christ. He wanted them to know, you cannot manufacture spirituality. It is only through Christ that the spiritual life can be lived. And so he gives his personal testimony in verse 20 when the Apostle Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Today we want to learn about this identity with Christ, identifying with what he did for us on the cross and what it really means for him to live his life through us. So let's dig into this. I want you to notice, first of all, the position of the saved. Let's start with the very basic position that we have as Christians. And it's found in that phrase, I am crucified with Christ. Let's say that together. I am crucified with Christ. Now, I want you to notice very simply the words I am. And I want you to know that word am is in the present tense. And so we see this is a constant position. It is a constant position. I have been, I now am, I will be, I am positioned in Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Now, how many of you are thankful this is a constant relationship? It's not something you had once, you might have in the future, but this identity we're going to learn about today, it's something that's real and vibrant and it's continual for the Christian. It's a constant position. I am in Christ. Again, you might be a Raiders fan or a Broncos fan, and you might be identifying with this company or that company. All of that stuff is up and down. All of that stuff is tarnished at times. But when we say, I am in Christ, that is what I am constantly. Whether I'm at a football game or whether I'm at work, I am in Christ. It's a constant position. Not only is it constant, but now catch this, it's a crucified position. Notice he says, I am crucified with Christ. Now, this is a little heavy to think about. I'm crucified with Christ? Paul is speaking here of his identity in and with Christ. He identified himself with Christ's death on the cross. Paul had tried to find spiritual life through the keeping of the works of the law, but all he found was failure, and that's all you will find. If you make a list for yourself of what you must do to live the Christian life, you will fail your own list. How many of you have ever made a list for yourself? I'm going to do all this, and I'm going to be a real good person, and you failed your own list. Anybody like that? Now, I'm not against lists. I understand that they help us to get some things done. But when it comes to living the spiritual life, if it's up to my list, then I'm going to fall short every single time. George Mueller was once asked, what is the secret to your spiritual power? And he said, one day, George Mueller died. And he was speaking about what happened on the cross of Jesus Christ. Bonhoeffer said, when Christ calls a man, he bids him to come and die. You see, so in Christ, the enthronement of myself ends. In Christ, I reckon myself, my past, my failures, my attempts to be gone and in the past, and I live through Jesus Christ. But we as Christians must realize that position. Now, how do we realize it? How do we understand what it means to be crucified with Christ. Well, let's look at Romans chapter 6 for a moment. It's in your notes or turn there in your Bible. And it says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death." Now, how many of you have been baptized in the waters? Let me see. You've been baptized by immersion, all right? Good. When you were baptized, you were placed under the water. That's a picture of Christ's death. It's also a picture of your identifying with his death on the cross and his burial and then his resurrection. So I am baptized identifying with Christ, and it signifies my death to the old life, my resurrection to the new life. Look at Romans 6, 4. "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Now, Romans 6 does not mean we will never sin, but it teaches us this, that we are free now from the power of sin because I am crucified with Christ. The hold of sin, the strength of sin was nailed to that cross. Jesus wins our victory at the cross. Now, a dead man doesn't try to keep a list of rules because he's dead. And a dead man doesn't try to battle the world. He's dead. And a dead man isn't controlled by sin. He is dead. And so God wants us not to keep trying to fight the battle. He wants us to reckon the battle is already won. Galatians 5:24. "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust." Now, it's a vitally important thing that all of us can say with the Apostle Paul, "I am crucified with Christ. My old habits, my old ways, my old thoughts, I reckon those thoughts to be dead in Christ. My life is dead. I want his life to be lived through me. I don't want to live this life myself. I want his life to be lived." This past week, one of the churches I preached at was the Faith Baptist Church there in Sydney. And Pastor Zaidan has a wonderful testimony. He was from Lebanon and came to Australia because of persecution and civil war there. And back in Lebanon, he met the missionary to the left there. Brother Hester was the missionary that in 1960 left the plains of Kansas and went over to Lebanon and began witnessing and knocking on doors in that largely Muslim country and witnessing for Christ and establishing churches and a Bible institute. One of the young men he met was this man, Bill Zaidan. But in the 70s, there came a civil war in Lebanon. And so because of that, the Hesters, with a broken heart, had to leave Lebanon, and their church members, many of them were just literally spread all over the world as they fled this civil war. Well, as I talked to Brother Hester, I think I have a picture of him on the next slide. As we talked together, he's now 80 years old, and he said, "Let me tell you the rest of the story." And he gave me a book, and I'm reading it right now. It's his life story. I'm going to put it in our church bookstore. He said, "I got back to Kansas. I was so discouraged. I wept so many nights. I wanted to serve God. I wanted to be with the people he'd called me to." And he said, 3 months later, one of the men from our church called, and he said, "Pastor, we're in Australia." And he said, "A lot of the Lebanese have come here. In fact, there are about 500,000 Lebanese in Sydney, Australia. And they had gone there to avoid the persecutions and such." And he said, "Pastor Hester, would you come?" Brother Hester left the plains of Kansas. He went to the next mission field of Australia, where he established the Faith Baptist Church, pastored by Pastor Zaidan, and it's one of the largest Baptist churches in that country. Folks are being saved every single week, and he's there still helping in the church at age 80. He has MS. His wife has dementia. He said, "But God called us to this mission field, and by the grace of God, we're going to serve here until the day we die." Now, what causes someone for over 50 years to be willing to leave their home, to go to a Muslim country where he was kidnapped, where he was shot, where they were persecuted, and then to come back briefly to the States, then go to another foreign country and give his entire life on foreign soil to serve God? Why did he do that? And there's one simple answer. It's not his life that he's living out. It's Christ through him. I am crucified. My will, my desires, I am crucified. And when we get to that place where it's not about me, but it's about Christ in me, then we begin to live. Then we begin to understand what it means to identify with Jesus Christ. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live. And what our Lord says about cross-bearing and being crucified with Christ, it's not some fine print type of thing. It's right here in bold. He wants us to identify with Him. Galatians 6 and verse 14 says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Paul says, listen, the world doesn't matter to me. Pleasing this world system is not what it's about anymore. I'm crucified. I'm dead to this world, and I'm alive to Jesus Christ. Many of us as Christians are too alive to this world and not alive enough to Jesus Christ. But Paul said, I'm crucified to this world. I was crucified when Jesus was crucified. I'm crucified with Christ. And then he said, notice this, he says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. So we see his position as something that was realized. But let me say this very quickly. It's something that must be reckoned. It must be reckoned. It's something that we must every day reckon. Notice what it says in Romans 6 and verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, friends, we don't need to get up every morning and look in the mirror and try to do some Alcoholics Anonymous speech and say, I can do these 10 things, I can do it, I can do it. What we need to do is to simply say, Lord, help me to reckon today. The word reckon is an accounting term. It is a term that deals with realities. It's a term that means to impute or to account. And we need to account the fact daily. I am in Christ. The sin and the tendencies of the past are crucified in Christ. So I reckon myself today. I'm making this accounting today. As a child of God, I'm in Christ, I'm dead to the past, I'm dead to the tendencies of the past, and I will be alive to Christ and His impulses in my life today, and that's how this is, and that's who I am in Jesus Christ. That's my identity, and that's my position. Now, the pull of the flesh is very strong. The pull of the flesh is very strong, and many times without knowing it, like those Judaizers, we can revert back to the old way. I heard about a man that was in the Marines, and as a Marine, he was always trained by his drill instructor, and one day he was back on a base where he had served, and he was walking down a sidewalk, and he saw out of the corner of his eye his former drill instructor, and he said just for a minute, he just about had heart panic. It brought back those days when that Marine drill sergeant was barking out the orders to him. And sometimes after you're saved, the old things of the world bark at you. Come and do this. Hear this song. Remember this. Do this. Live this way. But the fact of the matter is that we don't want to march to the beat of that drum. We want to reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin and alive unto the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we are. That's who we identify with, Jesus Christ. That's the position of the saved. Now notice secondly, though, the passion of the saved. The passion of the saved. Look what Paul says. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. All right? Men, I want you to say, I am crucified with Christ. Ladies, I want you to say, nevertheless, I live. All right? Men, ready to begin? I am crucified. Ladies? Fellas, the ladies did better than you. All right, let's try that one more time, fellas. Here we go. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Now, notice that. Nevertheless, I live. Paul says, hey, the old me, the old patterns, hey, that died at the cross. But I'm alive. Don't misunderstand me. I'm loving life. Nevertheless, I live. You know, sometimes people say, well, I'd be a Christian, but you know, you can't party, you can't drink, you can't run around, you can't have any fun. And you know, the devil sold them a bill of goods. The devil is a liar and the father of lies. You want to really live? You want to know what life is? Hey, life's not about a hangover or wondering if you caught a disease because of the last party. I'm going to tell you what life is. Life is allowing Jesus to be living his life through you. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He said, look it, I'm alive. I'm passionately enjoying this life. I met a Muslim lady last week. She's no longer a Muslim. 3 weeks ago, she accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. And she had the joy of the Lord on her face. And she said, Pastor Chapel, she said, I had struggled in my walk with my husband, and he was so mean to me. And by the way, pray for him. He was in service. He's getting close to getting saved. She said, I had struggled, and he was so mean, and I had given up on life. I didn't want to live life anymore until someone from this church showed me what Jesus did for me on the cross, and I was saved. And she said, this is her word. She said, now I feel for the first time like I'm alive. Like I'm alive. Guess what? She is for the first time alive. She's alive in Jesus Christ. Now, Paul says here that he had a passion for the new life. A passion for the new life. He said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Jesus made it clear throughout the New Testament that the flesh profits nothing. And you see, it's not the goal of the church or the Christian life to help us reform the flesh. It is to recognize the flesh has been crucified on the cross and that we are alive in Jesus Christ. John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. God does not expect you to live the Christian life in your power. He expects us to allow His Son to empower us day by day. And so he says, Paul says, hey, I'm alive. Just because I said I'm crucified, that's a reference to the old tendencies. That's a reference to the old thought process. But I live in Christ. He had a passion for the new life. But notice, secondly, he had a passion for Christ's presence. He says in this passage, Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Spurgeon once said in his book, Lectures to My Students, when your own emptiness is painfully forced upon your consciousness, chide yourself that you ever dreamed of being full except in the Lord. When your own emptiness is painfully forced upon your consciousness, in other words, when you realize you can't do it on your own, then chide yourself for ever thinking you could have done it on your own. Because the Christian life is not something we live on our own. The Christian life is to be lived as we yield and surrender to the Lord Jesus who lives it through us. That's why Paul says here in this verse, nevertheless, I live. He says, I am alive. I am being influenced by the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you are a born-again Christian, then by the power of His Spirit, Christ is in you. And we need to identify with Him. And we need to understand there is no greater position than to be in Christ. Now, Jesus Christ died on the cross to save us from sin. But He lives in your life to save you from yourself. He died on the cross to save you from sin. But He lives in your heart to save you from yourself. In other words, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And I live through Jesus Christ empowering me and giving me daily the sanctification that I need. How we thank the Lord for that. R.A. Torrey said, when Jesus died, He died as my representative, and I died in Him. When He arose as my representative, and I arose in Him. And so what we see then is that we have a passionate new relationship with Jesus Christ. And think about all the things that we have now that we're in Him, now that He is in us. I gave you a little chart, I believe, in your notes there. Think about this. In Christ, there's no condemnation. In Christ, we're freed from the law of sin and death. In Christ, we have the Holy Spirit. In Christ, our mortal bodies have been quickened. And in Christ, we are joint heirs with Him. And in Christ, all things work together for good. In Christ, He has a purpose. And in Christ, He has given to us freely all the spiritual blessings. In Christ, we are justified. We have an intercessor. We cannot be separated from God. In Ephesians, it says that in Christ, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. We have the blessings of heavenly heavenly places. We are chosen to be without blame before Him. We are adopted as children. We are accepted. We are redeemed. We are forgiven. We are abounding toward God and towards His wisdom. We are have the revelation of His will and purpose. We have obtained an inheritance. We are the praise of His glory. We are sealed by His Spirit. We are given security of our inheritance. We are His workmanship. We are made nigh by His blood. We have peace. I'm telling you, it's one thing to be in a church. It's one thing to be a Baptist. It's one thing to have gone to some Sunday school. It's an entirely different thing to be able to say, I am in Christ, saved, settled, sealed, secure, loved. No one can take my salvation away. That's who I am. That's my identity. It doesn't matter who walks out on you. It doesn't matter who hates you. It doesn't matter who speaks against you. If you are in Christ, that's who you really are, you see. That's your identity. And Jesus said it this way in John 15:5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Someone says, well, I'm gonna try to make this list, and I got this other list from another Christian friend, and this other one says I have to do it this way. So I'm just going to all the churches to get the biggest list. Then I'm going to obey that list. And Jesus said, hey, without me, you can't do a thing. Without me, without identifying with me, without reckoning yourself dead to sin and alive through me, you will do nothing. So the answer, my Christian friend, is not always to try harder. It is to comprehend the work of the cross and to live in the power of the grace of the cross and to let His life flow through yours. Oh, how we thank Him that He provides that power. We see the position of the saved. I am crucified with Christ. I identify with His cross. We see the passion of the saved. Nevertheless, I live, he says. I'm alive in Christ. But then I want you to see, thirdly, the persuasion of the saved. Now notice this, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, Paul was fully persuaded he could not live the Christian life alone. He had a full understanding that it was not his life to be lived. It was his life to yield. It was Christ that would be lived through him. His life would be laid at the cross. And so he says, my position is I am crucified with Christ. My passion is I'm living as Christ lives through me. But here was his persuasion. He says, the life that I now live in the flesh, this everyday life that's happening, this everyday life that's going on right now that you live and that I live, how are we going to live it? How are we going to live a life in such a mixed up world? And he tells us how. He says, by the faith of the Son of God. So his persuasion was, first of all, that he must live this life by faith. This idea that Christ is living his life through me, that I will reckon myself dead to sin and alive to Christ. Listen, that is faith. Every morning waking up and saying, Lord, by faith, I reckon that I am dead because I'm dead in you at the cross, and I'm alive through you living through me. So by faith, Jesus, I ask you to live through me. I'm not going to do what just I can do today, but by faith, I'm asking you to live through me. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And so we now put no confidence in the flesh, but we put confidence in the Word of God. Colossians 2:6 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. And it will require a life of faith. It will require tomorrow morning waking up and by faith saying, Lord, I trust what you said in your word, that the only way I can live is as you live through me. So by faith, Lord, I ask you to empower me and to guide me and live through me today because I want you to be glorified through my life. I was watching the Olympics a day or two ago, and a commercial came on. And the commercial that came on was advertising a show, and the show was called The New Normal. Now, mind you, I don't watch ABC or NBC. These networks are doing nothing but perverting the minds of America and twisting hearts away from Jesus Christ. But for the Olympics, I had this on, so they're advertising their new normal. This show, which is prime time in America, the new normal, as the commercial showed, was two homosexual men hiring a surrogate woman to have their child in what they called the new normal. Their new normal, the Bible calls old sin, right? And I understand even the president has recently condoned this new normal. But I'm going to tell you right now, I was sitting there thinking, my soul, not just my children, now my grandchildren are going to grow up in a world where the TV's telling them that's normal. And I'm thinking to myself, sometimes as a pastor, it's overwhelming. What's going on with Hollywood, with Sacramento, what's going on with the economic meltdown, the global economy, the platform of the Antichrist that's being set. There's so many things happening, and you look out someday, and you hardly know where to start. You hardly know what to preach about or against. There's so much going on. And sometimes if you're like me, when you wake up in the morning, your first instinct might be to say, I want to get back under the covers. I don't know if I can face all this. And Paul says, let me tell you, this life that I'm living in the flesh, let me tell you how I'm living it. I'm living it by faith in the Son of God. That's how I'm living it. And by faith every day saying, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm dead to all of this anyways. And so nevertheless, I'm living. And the life I'm living it because Jesus is living it through me. So we got to live it by faith. But let me say this secondly, it's got to be a personal faith. It's got to be personal. Now look at this verse. We're just kind of getting this principle of what some would call the exchange life or the crucified life. Notice he says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now watch this. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's say that phrase together. Who loved me. Notice the word me twice. It's a personal issue here. He says it's a personal faith. It's not just like God loves all the people out there and it's not the universality of that type of a situation. He says, no, it's real to me. He said, he loved me and he gave himself for me. And how many of you are thankful that Jesus died for your sin today? None of us deserve heaven. We do not deserve heaven, but Jesus shed his blood to cover our sin so that we might be accepted by God, so that we might have a home in heaven. And how does someone get that faith? How does somebody believe this stuff, Pastor Chapel? How do you believe that by faith Christ is in you and you have a home in heaven? Well, let me tell you something. Faith comes by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I have seen it over and over. I've seen people come, skeptical people, religious people. And if they'll dare to listen, if they'll dare to discern, if they'll dare to understand who Jesus is and what he did, then through the Word of God, I've seen their hearts open because there's power in the Word of God. And we must put our faith in the Word of God. Last week when I was getting ready to preach, I emailed a friend of mine who lives in Australia. And I said, tell Anthony to come to Faith Baptist Church. I want to see him there. And last year, I guess maybe 6 months ago or so, I had a friend that visited us from Australia, and he visited the college, and he's a Christian businessman. He brought another man with him. And I saw them, and I said, hey, why don't you guys come to the house after church? I thought they were two Christian businessmen. And so we sat there, and we were giving testimonies and having some fellowship and talking about the Lord. And it began to become apparent that this gentleman, whose name is Anthony, was not a Christian. And that he had just come over strictly for the business. They were meeting with Costco for some things. And it was just a business trip. And so as the testimonies were given, I saw him kind of, you know, out of his element. By the way, some of you feel like, I don't know how to be a soul winner. Can you tell others how you got saved? Your testimony is a great witnessing tool. And I just had a few people telling how they got saved. And then I asked this man, Anthony. I said, Anthony, do you know for sure that if you died, you'd spend eternity in heaven? Would you like to know for sure how to be saved? He said, I'd really like that. His mother was Church of England. He'd never gone to church anywhere. And right there at our dining room table, he prayed to accept Christ as Savior. And so I told his friend, I said, tell Anthony to come to the church. And he showed up last week, and he came in with his Bible. He said, hey, Pastor Chapel. He said, I watch your sermons on live stream. I've been reading the Bible. I'm really starting to get some things together. I want to help missionaries. And I'm telling you, God's beginning to do something in his heart. You know why? Because if you put faith in this book, it'll change your life. And you see, Paul said, the life I'm living right here, right now in the flesh, I'm living by faith in the Son of God. And that's not just some faith in a generic God out there. No, no. That's the faith that I have in the Lord who loved me and died for me. In other words, He personalized it. And listen to me. If you don't have a personal Savior, if you can't say He loved me and died for me and He's in me, then today is the day of your salvation. And today is the day that you need to say, Lord, forgive me because I'm a sinner and I want You to come into my life and be my Savior. And when you call on the name of the Lord, you, my friend, will be able to say, Christ is in me now too, you see. It's just a matter of inviting Him to come in. And that faith is developed through His Word. And sometimes that faith is developed through trials and difficulties and afflictions in our lives. And we have opportunity through those times to draw closer to Him. So let me ask you a question this morning. Who do you identify with? Oh, I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm a Lakers fan. I'm from Alabama. I'm from Vermont. All right, fine. But who do you identify with? Who is it really that you find your position in today? Because I got to tell you something. A lot of times, labels, they can have a diminished meaning. Even this great country, countries go up and countries go down. Your great company, your great education, all of that is up and down, but Jesus never fails. And Jesus teaches us, as the Apostle Paul writes, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Have you been reckoning yourself to that truth? Can you begin tomorrow morning saying, Lord, I want to reckon myself to be dead to me. And I may not go to Lebanon like missionary Hester, but whatever You want to do through me, Lord, I want You to do it. And by faith, I want to live today as You are living through me. I want to really live the life of Jesus Christ through mine throughout this day today. And what a way to live. What an exciting journey to be able to say, I know who I am now. And it's not just so-and-so's son, and it's not just this engineer from there. It's not just the guy from Alabama or the Cowboys fan. I know who I am. I'm a child of God. Christ is in me, living through me. I'm dead to who I was, because that doesn't really matter. What matters is Christ in me, the hope of glory. Let's pray together. Father, help us to identify with Your Son. Help us to positionalize with Your Son. And may we identify ourselves today, Lord, deeply in a walk with You. May You live Your life through us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for being a growing Christian and for joining us for today's message. To find out more about Lancaster Baptist Church or about Pastor Paul Chapel, go to lancasterbaptist.org or paulchapel.com.